Hello.
And welcome to the WoWork podcast, a series of playful legal dissections on the most curious and alarming events in the world of work. The podcasters Alan Girl, Trey Svetkovsky, and Sarah Pazell debate how to craft a better experience of work. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And remember, none of the things we talk about today should be construed as legal advice or any other type of advice. We're just here to talk about all things related to work. Hello and welcome to a very special WoWork episode. It's the WoWork Podcaster for a Day live recording, serious learning done playfully. This particular episode was done live last year in November 2024 in Brisbane at the Human Factors and Ergonomics Society of Australia. Participants actually got to star in their own mock podcast. So the aim was that we had participants who starred in their own mock podcast. So this is serious fun to resolve serious problems and address real world vulnerabilities. And it was fantastic. The workshop examined risk exposures, work, and we elaborated on how to redesign robust work systems to protect against serious work health and safety events. The approach, it was similar to some of the approaches we've been doing over the last couple of years, where we prodded and poked issues and pretty much got the really, really contentious stuff to the surface. And more or less, we explored controversy. As usual, we presented a case study at these workshops based on a real case. In this particular set of facts, the case we relied on was Taylor against August and Pemberton Proprietary Limited. Now, the facts were simply this. Well, nothing's ever simple in our world. Charlie Brown was a designer and manufacturer of fine jewellery. He operated a small business he called Boutique Jewellery. He employed a particular person by the name of Lucy. And then after some time, unfortunately, Charlie's wife left him. And then Charlie began to develop romantic feelings for Lucy. Charlie took Lucy with him on a work trip to the United States. Charlie, by this stage, after a couple of years, Charlie's realised that he's in love with Lucy, approached her about his feelings. Now, Lucy firmly and squarely said she did not have the same feelings for Charlie. Now, Charlie was a supportive employer and an astute business manager, often praising all his employees, and he would often give them gifts. Charlie was particularly generous to Lucy, giving her a myriad of gifts. Indeed, as time progressed, Charlie just could not let go of his feelings for Lucy, but she was still not in love with him. He also made subtle and not so subtle remarks, clearly indicating his attraction to Lucy. However, Charlie did not force himself on Lucy or touch her in inappropriate ways. Over a couple of years, and by this stage, Lucy realized that Charlie was not getting the message and engaged solicitors who sent correspondence to Charlie accusing him of sexual harassment. The relationship between Charlie and Lucy immediately soured. Lucy and Charlie were unable to reconcile in the Human Rights Commission. Lucy then brought an application in the federal court seeking that Charlie had sexually harassed her and sought $300,000 in damages plus costs. That is the scene that we've set, and listen on as we break down these issues to see what our audience thought of these facts. Enjoy.
Mine is Scan Leads. I think yours is like Connect Hub. Yeah, I think you get points or something, and then when tomorrow you get more when you come around the tables. I'll never remember how to find that either. Right. Always a bit late getting in. Ah, Wes, I'm expecting a lot of chit-chat from you, by the way. I want that. And if you talk, you might be... So we'll ask you into... If you talk... You're up first.
Oh, okay.
You're up first. I want you both to be provocative. This is a provocative table. And Trace, they haven't done their acknowledgement of country, so you might do that briefly. They haven't done that today. Yeah. Third one. Just say. I'm on. Where's our mic? There. I'm gonna...
Hello.
Good afternoon. Hello.
All right. Hello and welcome to this exciting session, as the title suggests, Why Work? Well, you're not all at work, you're at a conference, so the title is quite apt. We are the Why Work podcasters, and we focus on things that go awry a lot more often than you think. And you might think, well, how true is that? It's very true. We're into our seventh season next year, and we just keep up digging dirt, legal dirt, the real dirt.
Can I ask, was anyone at the Adelaide workshop with us? Suzanne was. A few people were? Yeah, okay, yeah, all right. Oh, yeah. Excellent. We've got a few who know the context, so great.
So Why Work is a podcast produced by the three of us, the three partners in crime, in this order, Sarah, whom you all know, of course, Alan, and Trage. And we run this podcast pretty much like we're going to run this Why Work workshop, where anything goes, and it usually does. So before we break down what it is that we'll expect of you today, let's just tell you a little bit about how we formed and what we and why we are so invested in this idea of exploring the uglier side of the workplace. And make no mistake, it is ugly. But before we do that, and I'm not sure if our colleagues before did that, I wish to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, which we're entitled to perform, because that's what we'll be doing today. So, why work? This is what we're going to do, and this is what we really do in the studio, but today, you guys are going to be the podcasters. And just for those of you who may feel a little bit uncomfortable, we will record that part of it. But so if you want to be famous, you can enjoy your 15 minutes of fame with us. But it's really not about that. It's more to get you to, I guess, experience the mic.
And just for the record, if you speak today, it will go into production. It may be used in an episode. By speaking, that is your informed consent. Should you still want to participate and not speak, you can just tell a neighbor what you want them to say on your behalf or speak to your table. But we're just letting you know now, if you speak, it might be on record. We can't promise it's going to be used. This is your producer later, but it will be pulled together, compiled into an episode for a special release episode. Assuming mic works and everything goes okay. That's the idea.
Provided the technology works. We have the technology. It's a conference about technology, so here it goes. So well, we've done these a few times, and we've had nobody say, oh, you know what, oh, I'm feeling a little bit gun-shy. No, please, take it out. So we generally have fun with this stuff.
Most people hog the mic.
Like I'm doing now, that's right. So how we're going to do is this. We are going to tell you about a case. These are all real cases. It may sound contrived, it may sound made up, but trust me, fact is a lot stranger than fiction. And that's what scares me a lot as an adult. In any event, we're going to talk about a case. We're going to explore the personas, because it takes two to tango, so to speak, when things get adversarial. We're going to empathy map. And that's a little bit of a curious construct. Empathy mapping a villain? Well, yeah, we're going to do that today. We're going to contest your position and whether or not you indeed thought that badly or perhaps that well of that person and vice versa. So we'll challenge your thinking by the end of the session. And as I said, we'll record this and then we'll reflect on it.
This is how we starting it. Let's get started. Let's get started. Let's get started. Let's get started.
Righty, I'm going to tell you about this case, and we haven't given you all the detail to make it a bit more interesting, but it is based on a real case, and we've made the characters in the case study that we're going to be Charlie Brown and Lucy. And The thing about Charlie Brown and Lucy is we all know a Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown doesn't have to be a man. Sometimes Charlie Brown's a woman. I was just reflecting that a female friend of my partner falls into the Charlie Brown category and she had to get a restraining order against her. But it usually is a man that would be the Charlie Brown, which is why we chose a male character. And I just want to, I'm going to be a bit sympathetic towards Charlie Brown, unless Sarah makes me flip. And Trace will be more sympathetic towards Lucy. And we, as I said, we all know a Charlie Brown. There might be a Charlie Brown in the room, so when you're expressing your opinions, please be respectful that there might be a Charlie Brown in the room, and there might be Lucy's in the room, so please be respectful of that too. That doesn't mean you can't have strong opinions. By all means, have strong opinions, but just be a bit respectful. And Charlie Brown, the situation for Charlie Brown, and if you reflect, you probably know someone. Someone will come up in your mind right now who might fall into this bracket. Charlie Brown's middle-aged, successful person, successful at business, worked their way up, probably in middle management. And they're having trouble on the home front and the marriage is starting to fall apart. And after being heartbroken from their marriage falling apart, they become attracted to another person at work. In fact, they fall in love with the other person at work. And love is a terrible, terrible thing. You only need to think about Romeo and Juliet. Love is a terrible thing. Love makes
unrequited love.
Love makes us do stupid things, and Charlie Brown does stupid things. Charlie Brown gets himself into a lot of trouble. If you know a Charlie Brown and you think they're starting to get into trouble, get them to see an employment lawyer immediately. All right, I'm going to give you the case study to read, and that's the opening introduction for our love-struck Charlie Brown. Sarah's going to pass it out. A bit more of an introduction for Charlie Brown. Charlie Brown started life as a design jeweller, and he developed a jewellery business of his own skill, and it grew to a medium-sized, a small jewellery business, and he recruited people and his marriage started to fall apart, and he employed a woman to work with him who he got along very well with. They were great mates. And as his marriage fell apart, he started to fall in love with this woman and he tried to woo her and she wasn't interested. But they were great mates and they're having a great time. And so he thought that there was a possibility that they could have a relationship. And he started doing silly things. And he started giving presents. If on that case study, just flip over to the back.
Yeah, flip to the back page on that case study. Share with a neighbour. These are the gifts to Lucy as an employee.
Okay, just have a listen to the inventory of gifts given to Lucy. Quilted black Chanel coin purse, platinum ring with emerald and diamonds, 18 carat white gold bezel set ring incorporating a sapphire Lucy had purchased, 14 carat gold six stone diamond necklace, small round cut peach sapphire he purchased at an overseas gem fair, 14 carat diamond cluster necklace incorporating the peach sapphire, jade bangle, $2,000 Christmas bonus, massage at a local shop during work hours, diamond stud earrings, silver pinky signet ring, black sequined Michael Kors bomber jacket, which retail for $548, $200 Mecca gift for card, 14 carat white gold hammered band ring, 5mm silver ring, 10mm silver ring, stellar gold hoop rings, 14 carat gold pinky signet ring, Chanel set diamond ring. Not bad jewellery.
Sorry? Is he what? Is he still single? I know, I know. Yeah. Gosh, I wish my boss gave me presents like that. There must be $100,000 worth of gifts in there.
More.
Anyway, so Charlie kept making overtures. Oh, now to be clear, Charlie, the evidence in the real case is a bit controversial about whether, in fact, Charlie ever touched Lucy. I think the conclusion of the judge in the case was he did. And I think, you remember in those old comedy things where someone would do the bowl over and pat on the someone on the bottom? I think that's what he did. But he never pressed himself against her. He never grabbed her. He never held her against her will. But he kept making overtures, and they were unwanted overtures. And eventually, she had solicitors write to him and say, "You're sexually harassing my client. Stop." Now, Lucy was still working when that letter arrived on a boss's desk. So you can imagine at that point, all the love disappeared, and things became very tense. And Lucy stayed in the workplace, I think, for 2 years after that piece of correspondence. And then ultimately Lucy sued, and the details of the action are not important, but sued and got some compensation. Before I hand over to Trej, we're not trying to do a discussion on the law today, so you don't need to be lawyers. We're just going to talk about relationships between people in the workplace and how this could have been managed, not been managed, what poor old Charlie, who was in love and out of control, could have done. And that's the case for Charlie.
So I'll give you all an exercise in just a moment.
And indeed, and just before we commence, and you might be wondering, what the hell are we doing here? What, get us out of here. This is important. So whilst this decision was only handed down less than 11 months ago, the fact that you're in Queensland is quite prescient, because Queensland is the first WHS cab off the rank to regulate this type of behaviour as a work health and safety consideration. So this stuff, the lack of a positive duty to ensure a safe workplace, it's no longer just about anti-discrimination and victimisation. So the fact that the rest of the states will follow, Queensland seems to sort of do things first, a bit of a suck it and see approach, but it's here, and it's no longer about these two, this two private situation where you have a boss in love with his employer. It is about that, but it's also about work health and safety and designing a better, because there is another person in this sad Romeo and Juliet scenario, and that is the company, that PCBU, their reputation. So there is a third party in this. So we're not just doing it because it's provocative and salacious and just downright. One media called it creepy on the part of the offender. It's about work. So I just wanted to let you know, you're here for a reason.
So instinctively, just with a little bit of the outline of the case, if you're brave enough to raise your hand and share that around the room, just instinctively, without delving deeper, who do you have empathy for? Are you concerned about this man who gave a lot of gifts and the lady accepted and accepted and accepted, and there was some confusion that meant there was a connection? Or do you have empathy a little bit stronger for this woman who was just trying to show up for her job and not knowing how to set these boundaries to the point where she became so discomforted that she felt it was no longer tenable, right? So instinctively, are you comfortable to raise your hands if I ask that question? Is there anyone you're not in trouble either way, right? So we want to be provocative. So go ahead and say even with what you don't think, right? I don't care, just let's get a vote. Instinctively, who might sympathize for the man in that case? Okay, instinctively, who might sympathize for, three and a half, sort of, okay. Who might sympathize for the woman in this case? Still some undecided, all right? These are the lawyers who really want to hear all points of view, the ones that are in the undecided category. How about for the employer, who would be Sympathetic to the employer, perhaps? Okay, a few. Fine, that's all right. We are going to teach an exercise or facilitate an exercise that is fundamental to design. So I know a lot of the theme of this conference is about work design. To us, empathy is significant because for whom are you designing, right? So we're going to ask the group to engage in a little bit of an exercise together in our design strategy. I'm always interested in personas when I start looking at, you know, for whom am I designing? And that looks a little bit like, you know, which person, who am I caring for, and how many different type of people do I need to consider in the design of that work? Am I trying to analyze a day in the life of a stereotypic occupational physician? And it's funny because I have such a strong connection to service design in my work with David. But when I go out to an organization and I have a safety team talking to me, they say, have you identified the hazards, right? To me, hazard doesn't exist unless you've identified the people and the tasks because there's no context. So for me, I like to start with, who are the people, what are the characteristics, what are their needs, what are their desires, and what are the actual functions or flow, process flow, and tribal culture, tasks that they do, the systems in which they work. Once that's defined, then you have some context to hazards. Hazard doesn't exist on a machinery, it doesn't even exist in this environment unless humans are there, right? So for me, from a design perspective, people, context. And so, you know, we might think about Simon, the retail shop owner, right? And that's not really his photo. It's just an internet photo, just so you know, okay? His real age was actually 42 at the time of the judgment. And Lucy, Charlie Brown, Lucy was 32. So it was a decade difference, if you want that context, while you're starting to dissect this, okay? And Fiona Taylor, who is Lucy, again, 32, we're just looking at what are some of the aspects of someone who's sales assistant, production manager, which was her role in the jewelry shop. So before we divide the room, just for a few moments, let's get this side of the room talking about Charlie Brown. Some of his motivations, his goals, his challenges, just in his role, not in context to Lucy right now, per se, just a little bit of conversation about what's a little bit of a day in the life of Charlie Brown. Remembering, here's an example for you, right? Occupational physician goal is a sense of accomplishment, to do good, to do goodwill, to have a knowledge of laws, etc. Challenges might be education, reimbursement models, meeting employer expectations. So I'll leave this one up on the backdrop as a little background for you, but just a little bit of talk. So we'll have these three tables talking about Charlie Brown, and what have we got? One, two, three, four, and the back table talking about Charlie Brown. Can you do Lucy and Lucy? Just understand a little bit of the person. You're going to make up some context. If you worry, it's just to give some context of the stereotype in this type of role for this person that we've already shared with you. Just a few conversations about it. Then I'm going to mix you up. Don't worry. So we're going to ask you a little bit about who this person is. What are the demands in their world?
Workshop involving Charlie and Lucy. We've set out the facts for you. Listen in for the next episode when we get to see how we can make sense of all this nonsense. See you later.
Offshore Marine. What do you want? What?